Hello, this is Hugh Baird. I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Anthony Williams, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Williams this evening, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Williams, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Now let's welcome Senator Anthony Williams.
Good evening, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to my constituents, as always, and many of my neighbors in particular. So everybody, I think, knows the rules of engagement tonight, and that is you will call in and you're going to post your questions, and I will take them as they come in order and try to get in as many as possible. Understand, we only have an hour, so please be as concise as possible when you ask your questions, and I'll try to be as brief and direct to the point as possible in answering. Thank you.
Senator, before we get to the callers this evening, as folks are just now joining us, there's a lot of things happening in Harrisburg. We're in budget time now. If we can just have a very brief, and then we'll go into some of the submitted questions, and we'll work through the folks that have called in. Again, before Senator Williams begins, just for those that have joined us, if you have a question for Senator Williams, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator?
Well, I frankly don't have much to report about the budget yet, unfortunately.
True.
And I will tell you that as of today, many of the issues, school, the level of violence in Pennsylvania, healthcare delivery, social programs, et cetera, have not been resolved because the Democrats and the Republicans have not agreed to the amount of money that we're going to spend in this year's budget. Once that agreement is reached, then usually we have the opportunity to talk about, we usually have an opportunity to talk about the types of programs that we need to support and the level that we need to support them in. But as always, I remain open to your suggestions and comments as we move forward.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, before we get to the callers this evening, we've had a number of questions that were submitted online, and we can go through those right now. Senator, our first question was a submitted question. It deals with the homicide rate in Philadelphia, and there's a discussion about the number of homicides last year and the numbers expected to grow this year. The questioner wants to talk about what do you think the causes of the increased rate and what can be done to shed the blood to stop the bloodshed.
Well, the causes are consistent with most of us that grew up in a generation that saw crack destroy families, and so we have a generation of not even young people anymore, but even adults who grew up without, frankly, many examples of what it means to be cared about or concerned. And after that, there's a level of confusion that deals with behavioral health issues, deals with frustration, anger, the lack of quality education. All those things are compounding and making it an immediate response to be violent. That combined with a significant amount of illegal guns pouring into our city and to our surrounding communities makes for a young person, usually a young person, getting their hands on a weapon that they're not trained to use, nor are they mature enough to use, and making some really bad decisions about when, where, and who they're trying to shoot. And unfortunately, we're not just killing drug dealers. We're killing grandmothers. We're killing fathers. We're killing young people. We're killing a generation of people who either mistakenly or in the line of fire are part of a rate that we've not seen ever. It's probably unprecedented in Philadelphia and probably unprecedented in the nation, how many people are being murdered simply because they can get a hold of an illegal gun. That said, the Commonwealth has a responsibility in that area. And recently we created a pot of money to be used at the local level for a variety of community organizations to do, what, as we understand, grassroots organizing to intervene in a generation's the generation that's involved in this level of violence. Further, we are increasing the funding, we hope, for what I'm proud to have been one of the creators of, the Illegal Gun Task Force, which finds the illegal guns across the city of Philadelphia. And so those two things were significantly involved in.
Thank you very much for the submitted question. Senator, before we go on, we have another submitted question. This one is from Paula. Paula asks, are there any future plans to renovate or revitalize the 60th Street corridor beyond the work that has currently been completed by the West Philadelphia Realty Company?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, that's a great question. And I'm not sure. As you may know, Paula, that work is supplemented by the Commonwealth on occasion when we give grants. And I've been one of the first persons who supported that. But that work primarily has been done by the local government. Your current councilman, Jenny Blackwell, is still there. She will be there till the beginning of the new year. Then you will have you'll have a new council person, Jamie Guineer, who will come on board. I think it's an excellent time to begin those conversations with her about her future plans in terms of the corridors we have across West Philadelphia. You know, 52nd Street, 60th Street, Woodland Avenue, just a few, that need the attention that we all know and recognize. I do think that there's an opportunity, especially now, given that people are now shopping online or they're shopping closer to home. So if we do something with regard to those local corridors, there'll probably be a shopping base that's stronger and more consistent than it had been for a long time.
Paula, thank you very much for that question. And just a little bit of housekeeping before we move on. Again, if you have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Williams this evening, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Williams, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to a submitted question. We're going to go to a question from Jeff from Lansdowne. And the question is, why haven't you publicly called for Daylon Leach to resign?
That's a great question. I'm glad people have asked me that question. And it's been in the news for a long time, and I've not commented ever publicly. And I think people need to understand why. I'm a member who sits on what they call the Ethics Committee in the Senate. I'm one of three Democrats that has that responsibility. And we have a wide range of issues that we have to discuss as it relates to a member's conduct. In effect, we become a jury, if you will, amongst our peers, and we recommend to the larger body if there's to be a trial on that member. If I were to make public statements indicating my perspective with regard to Senator Leach or any case involving a member like that, I would be, in effect, violating the rules of the Ethics Committee. I am supposed to be unbiased in terms of that ruling. Senator Leach had a complaint filed against him. That complaint was not filed properly. It is my understanding that we will have another filing in the not-too-distant future. And at that point in time, I will be reviewing the situation with Senator Leach and a member or members of the Senate. And so while most of what we have read in the paper, including myself, have been disturbing, I'm not able to comment publicly with regard to the position simply because, most importantly, because I sit on the Ethics Committee.
Jeff, thank you very much for the question. Again, if you have a question for Senator Williams this evening, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Lisa. Lisa, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Yes. Good evening, Senator Williams. My question and concern has been the future of charter schools. And if the mayor is reelected, he has expressed a desire to close the charter schools and return everything back to the School District of Philadelphia. Do you see this happening in the next, let's say, 2 to 5 years?
Well, I'd say that I can't predict what the school board's going to do. You know, he makes those appointments. And I would suggest that if that's a legitimate concern, then the parents, because there's a significant, I guess, over a third of the parents in public schools are in charter schools, are charter public schools in Philadelphia. Those issues have to be organized amongst parents. That means your state senator, your state representative, your council person has to know your views with regard to the possible closure. To the extent that people sort of identify me with charter schools, I think people need to begin to identify me with students, public school students specifically. If a student is in an excellent public school, in a neighborhood school, I support that. If a student's in an excellent charter school, I support that. If a student is in a school that's struggling, then I think they should have options, regardless of whether it's a traditional public school or a traditional charter school. And I think we need to find money to support both so we can stop arguing about money And I think that those options should be available regardless of who the parent is or where you live in Philadelphia. And so if that is a concern, I think more of us who are concerned about the quality of public education in Philadelphia need to express ourselves directly to the people that we represent. Thank you.
Lisa, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Williams this evening, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Jerry. Jerry, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Good evening, Senator Williams.
Good evening.
I am wondering if there are any programs in place for incarcerated males, such as the Second Chance Program in Pennsylvania, once they're released from prison.
There are programs that deal with people who have are quote-unquote returning citizens, and they fit in different spaces. And if there's someone that you're familiar with, I suggest that they get a hold of me in my office, 215-492-2980. There are programs with regard to employment, programs with regard to continuing education. I do not want to suggest they are significant or anywhere near where they need to be, but there are programs that we are have been helping people with for some time.
Thank you.
Jerry.
Thank you.
Sorry. Jerry, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Williams this evening, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, for those who have just joined us, I want to introduce our live poll question tonight. And the question is, what voting reform would you most like to see? Lowering the voting age to 16, press *1 on your keypad. Nonpartisan municipal elections, press *2 on your keypad. Early voting, press *3 on your keypad. No excuse absentee voting, press *4 again. The live poll question this evening is, what voting reform would you most like to see? Lowering the voting age to 16, that's *1 on your keypad. Nonpartisan municipal elections is *2. Early voting is *3. And non-excuse absentee balloting is *4. Senator, we can go back to the callers. We're going to go to Barbara in Philadelphia. Barbara, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Senator, my question is, why don't we have more police presence on the streets? You don't see police anywhere. I walk around. I'm a senior citizen, and I walk to the bus stop. I used to walk down Baltimore Avenue every day for exercise. But twice I've been followed by young men with the hoods on their head, and it scared me, so I stopped walking. However, I used to see police cars all the time. I haven't seen, in the last 2 years, I haven't seen any police, and that's why we have so much crime in our streets now, because if I notice it, the thieves and the gun people know it also.
So I would say this. I'm not sure what the pattern is, but we certainly can find out. There has, in that, I'm not sure exactly where you're talking about Baltimore Avenue, about 5 months ago, there was a significant uptick in terms of shooting, and there was a significant amount of police increase. And how would I know? Because I live in that area. So many nights I saw a lot of police folks. Now, I'm not sure what hours of the day you're talking about, and I'd be more than happy to I'm sorry?
I usually walk early in the morning from 53rd in Baltimore to 40th in Baltimore.
So that's an area. You live a little bit farther down than I do, so I can't speak to that. But I'd be more than happy to reach out to the police department on your behalf. We do have your phone number, I think, and my staff
yeah.
will take it, and we will reach out to them on your behalf and find out what the patrolling cycle is, especially in that area at that time in the morning, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Barbara, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go now to another submitted question. This one is from Diane, and the question is, Senator Williams, what support will you need from your constituents to help you and your colleagues to effectively address and eradicate many of the key challenges such as rising violence and the causation factors of violence?
Well, we need more money, simply put. And the Commonwealth to date has not been willing to raise the revenue which is adequate with funding increased levels of quality public education. After you graduate, there needs to be a different type of training for employment. There certainly needs to be a continuation of the growth when it comes to community group and outreach and, of course, the illegal gun task force, which I mentioned. So I'm not suggesting we're not going to be able to be successful on some levels, but, frankly, it needs more revenue than we're currently supporting it with. And, you know, we're in the middle of that debate today. And there are a number of ways that we can raise revenue without it being significant to the taxpayer in Pennsylvania. And so we're considering some of those ideas as we speak, a tax on Marcellus Shale and adult marijuana. Those are two things that the General Assembly is wrestling with as we talk today. We'll see if any of them pass, because it's much needed revenue to support the programs that are important.
Diane, thank you very much for submitting your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers, but before we do, again, if you have a question for Senator Williams, press star 3 on your phone's keypad, and we'll get you screened and on the line as quickly as possible. We're going to go to Chevelle. Chevelle, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Hi, Senator Williams. I live in Southwest Philly, specifically on the 6400 block of Shelwind Avenue, and I have to say in the 18 years that I've been here, the blight and short dumping is atrocious. If I could just leave my home and run somewhere else, I would. What is being done about that? Because it's just, if you come to my neighborhood and see how I'm expected to live as a taxpayer, it's ridiculous. No one should have to live like this, and nothing is done about it.
So, Ms. Harrison, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to take this phone number. We're going to come visit again.
Okay.
I agree with you, and I would suggest to you that I wish I could wave a magic wand and tell you the Commonwealth is involved in that. It's primary local responsibility. I've talked about issues such as drones, so we can track who's doing the short dumping and those kinds of things in areas. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you put somebody out there for a short period of time to catch them, or a fixed camera, it may or may not work. But the reality is, I think that it's unfortunate that many parts of my district that I drive through are hardworking people that are not the persons who are dumping things outside of their homes. It's
mm-hmm.
people who drive through those communities. And we need to get their license plates so that we verify who's doing it. And once we get a license plate, that part's not challenging, you know, to tax them. To fine them in ways that they would stop doing it. But the main problem is that it's hard for us to track them down. It is significantly a local problem. The state only provides a grant or two through transportation to do that, but it's not what the state does. But I'd be
mm-hmm.
happy to come out with you and work with your council person to draw attention to it.
I think you doing that would put some fire under Councilman Johnson's butt, pardon my French, because I call and it's horrible. I'm looking out my window now in the rear, in the front. It's just disgusting. So I definitely take you up on that offer and look forward to your call and working with you and your staff to get this done.
Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Chevelle, thank you very much for your call, Senator. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Gloria. Gloria, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Hello, Senator Williams. My question is, will there be another gun drive going on within the city of Philadelphia and maybe the county areas? And also, can there be some type of program in place, drive in place for the youth that get a hold of guns just as well, because the gun drive, I think, really helps, get some of the guns off the street. But there also needs to be something that would target the youth that gets a hold of guns. And also my question would be, I know that there's also something like a STEM program for kids during the summer months. And I'm focusing on mainly the teenage years when, you know, teenagers need to have something to do during the summer months. A lot of them like to work, like my son, or they need to be a part of some type of program during the summer when they're in their teenage years because they're not interested in going to daycare. So can something be in place for them also?
So in terms of the gun sales, you may or may not know we had probably the largest gun buyback in the city last year. And so I'm not sure if we're going to plan to do that again this year or not. We spent about $30,000, you know, taking guns off the streets of Philadelphia. We did it in partnership with ShopRite, Jeff Brown. It was very successful on certain levels. We do have to have a different type of program for another generation that actually using these illegal guns. And last year, we spent more money to try to attract another generation. We had some success, not a lot, frankly, because it was mostly older guns that we got, not the newer guns that we got off the streets of Philadelphia. So we're talking about doing another gun buyback, but we're really trying to figure out what it is that we're really going to be able to make a dent with the next generation. Now, as far as employment for a new, you know, younger people, I encourage you to call in my office, and we are identifying different companies, small companies, that which are employing young people this summer, and we will work with you all to see if we're able to be helpful in that area. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Gloria, thank you very much for your question. Again, if you have a question for Senator Williams this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Moretta. Moretta, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Hi, Senator Williams. I'm really happy that I'm able to speak to you today. But my question is, with this regentrification with the properties that I have lived here for, I'll be 58 at the end of this month. So with the regentrification of these properties and how they have the tax abatement, it's people that's rich people here in the city. They don't need an abatement. We, as the community that has been here for years and years, need the programs. Now, for instance, I was on the tax installment, and just so happened I came across some money, so I paid it all off, and the next year they cut me off. So I don't understand, you know, one thing against the other. So can you explain it to me?
So I will say this. It's a very frustrating question. The abatement program is separate from the assessment. Your property taxes are going up because you have an assessment, which is occurring every year without the involvement of council. Usually what happens in when people raise your property taxes locally, city council along with the mayor does that. And when that occurs, the public has an opportunity to say, you better not raise them, or I'll be okay with raising them for whatever reason. What we have in Philadelphia is what they call AVI, actual value. And that means someone, an assessor, drives around your neighborhood, looks at your property and says your property is valued at X. And so many of these neighborhoods, which are now changing or, quote-unquote, being gentrified, the property taxes are going up significantly and rapidly, where people who have been there for a long time can no longer afford it. There are a number of programs which the city is offering. So one of the things I'm going to start with, I need you to make sure you call my office, 215 492-2980, to see if you qualify for any of those programs. I'm sure you may. That said, further though, and this is something I talked about not too a few months ago, when I was running for a local office, the issues of assessment are out of control, and you need to demand of your local government, because that's where it comes from, that the assessment process changes. There's a lawsuit that's going to occur against the city, which also will challenge the manner in which they're assessing or taxing your properties. So all those things I think we can work through or work with you through my office with you going forward. So let's see if you qualify for a program that you may not be presently using that may be able to help you in some shape, way, or form.
Moretta, thank you very much for your phone call. Senator, before we get back to the callers, as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Williams, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you'd like to participate in our live poll question, the question is this: what voting reform would you most like to see? Lowering the voting age to 16, you press *1 on your phone's keypad. Nonpartisan municipal elections, you can press *2 on your phone's keypad. Early voting, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. And no excuse absentee balloting, you press *4 on your phone's keypad. And, Senator, before we go back to the callers, I want to get back to a couple of these submitted questions, one of which is just to follow up on the live poll question. You're the Democratic chair of the State Governing Committee, and you reviewed and introduced some innovative electoral reforms to make it easier to vote. Can you tell me a little bit about the proposals, and before we get back to those that have called, and some of the things that you're working on relative to election reform?
There's two. One deals with how you select a judge, and the other one has to do with local municipal elections. For those of us who vote for judges, many of us are confronted with 500 names, 50 names to be, you know, not 500, but a lot of names on a ballot. And frequently we're frustrated by the fact that we don't necessarily know much about the people running. We don't know much about their qualifications. And so we sort of do in ranking order who we think we support. So if you're number one on the ballot, you get a lot of votes. What I'm proposing is that we circulate throughout the 66 wards in Philadelphia, a rotating process. So the one who's number one needs to go to the bottom in the next ward so that no person running for judge gets an advantage. And two, we are forced to get more information about those people running for judge. Judges in Philadelphia are probably as important as almost any other elected official you have. With the consequence of something being on your record, what happens to you if you have a record, once you are sentenced, all those factors are at the hands of a judge. And so for those reasons, I think we need to change the process so we have a broader array of those who are part of the electoral process. The other thing is that I propose a nonpartisan municipal election, which would mean those of us who are Democrats and Republicans would be voting at the same time in the fall. Rather than the simple advantage of me being registered Democrat, there are many people who have a variety of views that sometimes don't get noticed because they're not a registered Democrat or a Republican. And if you don't involve yourself in a primary, which many people do not, and they missed this last one, which just occurred in May, then the impact of your vote is diminished because you pick a Democrat, you pick a Republican. And in Philadelphia, with all due respect, when I'm a Democrat, 80% of the people who are registered voters, if not more, are Democrats. And so in the fall, for all intents and purposes, that person is going to win who's a Democrat. Well, what about the Green Party, the Environmental Party, the Climate Change Party, the hashtag MeToo Party, all those issues that somebody may feel comfortable, you know, running with and not necessarily want to run under the banner of a Democrat or Republican Party gets nullified because of the primary system we have in Philadelphia. So I'm a strong advocate for a nonpartisan municipal election. That doesn't mean you don't, you know, no longer a registered Democrat, remain one. But it also may mean that you get to pick a different type of person or a different type of Democrat or a different type of person who's running for office in that space because we're all running at the same time.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you for those that submitted a question about election reform. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Alfonso. Alfonso, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Good evening, Senator Williams. I'm a longtime voter, and also I live in Philadelphia. I'm a senior citizen, and I find it very disturbing that 328 police officers were found to have gone online, and the majority of these police officers were in uniform and, you know, identified themselves with hatred to people of color, and they posted their hatred online. Now, I heard this from Solomon Jones on the radio, and they had a rally at 8th and Race in front of the police roundhouse, the police headquarters, and from what I understand, 10 has been taken off the street. But there's still 300 plus more there. And, sir, I heard people say that they want more police activity on the street and they don't feel safe. But, my gosh, when you have people that hate you and they post this stuff online, and, you know, what happens if you need a police officer and something happens and can you really expect that they're going to protect and serve? Now, my question to you is that, is there anything that you can do? I know that most politics and everything is local, but if there's anything that you can do to help this situation, to get those police officers off the street, because basically we don't need people like that. I mean, it's different when you shoot an unarmed man in the back because you fear for your life. But if you have that kind of fear, you really don't need that job. And that's my question, sir.
Yeah, so, Mr. Greer, I think everything you said, I agree with 1,000%. My frustration is that I'm a state senator, not a local elected official. If
okay.
I were a local elected official, 328 officers who have discovered or had been discovered that they had written something online that indicated their bias, their bigotry, their hatred, they all would be sitting on a bench for a very short period of time. There are other places in this country where somebody gets fired immediately, and then you get your job back if they discover it's a mistake. Frankly, that's my position. I think all 328 of them should have been fired. I do think there's police policy that talks about, you know, conduct as an officer. I'm not sure why they're not using it. Again, this falls to your mayor. This falls to your council person. This falls to your commissioner. And I agree with you 1,000% again. 10 out of 328 is not even 1%, which is even scarier. So there is all sorts of issues which are fraught in this space. Stop and frisk still exists in Philadelphia unfairly. And if you have 328 officers which are using stop and frisk and they clearly don't like the person in a particular community, you know that they're using it against them. So the best I can do is what I'm going to do. And I'm preparing an op-ed, an editorial, to voice my displeasure with the fact that it's taking so long, that the public is frustrated and tired of waiting, which is why so many people choose not to vote, because we discourage them and disappoint them by our lack of action. So everything you said, I agree with. The limitations of me are my ability to affect local government in this space, but I will raise my voice with regard to Solomon Jones and others who have raised this as a significant issue that we all should be concerned about.
Thank you, sir. And I realize there's only so much you can do. That's why I just wanted to put the question to you and just see if there could be anything. And I think that I'm satisfied with your answer.
Thank you very much.
Alfonso, thank you very much for your question. And Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Doris. Doris, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Good evening, Senator. How are you this evening?
Good evening.
I'm calling with a very popular question that's been put to me and that I have myself. Do you have any resources available to those of us who suffer with student debt loans?
And I say to you, it's one of the most frustrating and humbling answers I have to give. Not enough and not nearly enough. We talk about, you know, asking you to get a quality education, encourage people to go to college. Pennsylvania is one of the least supportive states in the nation as it relates to supporting young people going through their college experience. And
yep.
We do have, now I will say this, we do have members of the General Assembly, me included and others, who are offering legislation in this area to reduce, you know, the level of debt. We have a number of tax credits that we're talking about in Pennsylvania, none of which relates to this. And so, you know, we could use more teachers, we could use more social workers, we could use more of a lot of things in Pennsylvania that could allow us to say if you're educated here, you know, we either forgive your debt or reduce your debt significantly. Other states are doing that. And we're offering those ideas as concepts, as well as the cost of the money. You know, I will tell you that when America was at its zenith and strongest was when we had a really highly educated population of people. And that was when we offered, you know, scholarships and low interest rate loans. To now, you know, the marketplace dictates those terms as opposed to the government. So those of us in the General Assembly are looking at proposing those ideas. I cannot tell you that it's caught momentum, but I'm going to tell you it's a national crisis. Well, it's a state crisis in Pennsylvania that regardless of whether you're Democrat or Republican, we're increasingly hearing more and more about. So I do believe that we're going to be pressured into doing something about it. I just don't have a timeline, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
Doris, thank you very much for your call. Before we go back to the caller, Senator, there's some folks who just joined us. If you have a question for Senator Williams this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, that's *3 on your phone's keypad. If you have a question for Senator Williams, Senator, we're going to go to Lily. Lily, go ahead. You're on with Senator Williams.
Hello, Senator Williams. My name, of course, you know, is Lily. I live in Delaware County, Collindale Borough. I'm 79 years old. I'm a grandmother with 13 grandsons. Of the 13 grandsons, 7 of them are employed. The rest of them are highly frustrated, going online, going to stand in lines, doing everything they can to find employment. It's heartbreaking to watch it because it's so frustrating to them. They're getting to the point where they don't seem to look forward to having a future or having any hope in a future. And I'm just asking you, Senator Williams, what can be done to put these young men to work? You can walk the street or drive down the street any time of day or night and see them walking the street. See young men just sitting on the steps. See them sitting on the corners. None of them working. Our young men need jobs. Until they get jobs, they're going to continue to get into trouble. They're going to continue to show their rage and their anger. They're going to continue to fight each other for scraps. Please, Mr. Williams, what can you do to help?
So I'm going to ask, I don't know about the seven grandsons, or actually the six grandsons who are unemployed. I don't know how old they are. I don't know how far they've gone in terms of education. I don't know what their background is. So it's very difficult to respond to that question. I clearly agree that they need an opportunity to have employment. I would suggest this, that they individually, not you, Grandma, them, they need to call my office to see if there's a program we can put them in when it comes to construction, hotel management, those kinds of things, certification programs that may be available depending upon what their background is. So, again, what I suggest they do is it's Mrs. Collingdale, right?
Yes, I live in Collindale, but they live in Philadelphia.
Philly, I'm sorry. So I suggest they call tomorrow, again, 215-492-2980. I'm assuming they're young enough to know how to use a computer, so if they don't have the number, they can look up my number online. They call my office and ask for an opportunity to come in to present themselves to see if we can help them with employment, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care now.
Lily, thank you very much for your call, Senator. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Anna. Anna, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Williams. My name is Anna Bateman. I live at Southwest Philadelphia, and I was questioning how is it these young guys them getting so much gun available to them? I'm 63 years old. I never hold a gun in my hand for my entire life. And I am so afraid because I have 12 grandsons and I cannot let them go to the corner store because somebody probably gets shot before they come back home.
Ms. Bateman, your frustration is mine. There's a few callers talking about this issue. And I will tell you again, I'll tell you what I do from the state level, then I'll tell you my frustration with the local level. My responsibility from the state level is to get more money into the hands of those folks who are tracking down illegal guns in Philadelphia, which I'm doing. I think it was $5 million last year. Hopefully we'll increase it this year. That means that to those young people who are getting guns, they clearly know where to go get them and how to find them, and there's an ability to track who's selling them in Philadelphia.
Right.
So we want to give power to those folks who track that down. The second part, though, is with regard to community intervention. So outreach programs that would lead a young person to some level of employment, education, opportunity that they're not currently involved in, we have to support those programs much more significantly than we have in the past. So the other part is that pot of money that we're driving from the state to local government. Now, all that said, it goes to local government that's going to make the decision about who's going to get to use those local grants and how effective undercover activities are. Yours is the same as mine. I live in a row house in West Philadelphia. You know, it's me and my wife. My children are now grown, but, we live in a working-class neighborhood, and there are incidents like those that you're talking about in your community. And I share your frustration about it. And I'm directing it towards the local government that has to take some kind of action, because every day it's just a body count. It's not even about
yes,
the first
last
day.
Night was nine people
yeah,
got shot.
Yeah, and they don't even stop to recognize them. And I'll tell you, you know, if this was other parts of America, you know, we'd stop and talk about who died and their background and their history. The dignity of life is not being shared equally, and it's not certainly not being shared in urban communities, and Philadelphia is one of those places. And so my rage is yours, and I will continue to do what I'm supposed to do as a state senator, send financial resources and program resources to the local government in Philadelphia, but they have to pick up the ball. And so you have to talk to your councilperson in increasing numbers. This last primary election, not enough people voted that came out with this level of rage or concern, you know, about guns and the level of violence and new programs. And so I'm glad you called, and I look to continue to work with you in this area to solve those problems.
Okay.
All right.
Anna, thank you very much for your phone call.
Before we continue with the phone calls, there are people who are calling from Senator Leach's district, and I'm appreciative that you're calling. You're calling specifically about Senator Leach, and I can't see. There was a question posed to me. Do you feel you should continue to serve on the Ethics Committee if you are not taking the substantial sexual harassment accusations against Senator Leach seriously enough to file the state Democratic leadership in calling for his resignation? Maybe you joined late, but I clearly said at the beginning of this, the Ethics Committee is comprised of individuals who have to be judge and jury. They cannot be biased. The due process which we have established in this country is important to all of us. And whether I agree or disagree with Senator Leach's actions are not the content that I'm able to react to until I see the information to me as a committee member of the Ethics Committee. For those who follow my history as a legislator, they clearly know that I have protected anyone who's been involved in abuse, be it a child, a woman, or an adult. And it's a serious problem we have in this country. And it's a serious problem that, frankly, not only follows gender, but it follows race. And so in both cases, I've taken them very seriously. But I also take responsibility for the manner in which I'm supposed to conduct this. And so while I appreciate the questions, I think the logic also has to follow that I'm going to follow the rules of the Senate specifically so that we can make sure there's an outcome which protects people who potentially could have been discriminated against or harassed.
Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. Before we do that, again, if you want to participate in our live poll question, the question is, what voting reforms would you most like to see? Lowering the voting age to 16, you press 1 on your phone's keypad. Nonpartisan municipal elections, you can press 2. Early voting, you press 3. Non-excuse absentee balloting, you press 4. Senator, we're going to go to Beverly and Yaden. Beverly, go ahead. You're live with Senator.
Good evening, Senator. My question is, I've been living here for 29 years. I call it IHOP. Used to be called International House of People. Now I call it International Hood of People. Your office is right on Church Lane,
right?
Correct?
Yes, it is.
And if you walk in the area, you can see changes, and they go up on taxes. I'm a senior. And you spoke about how the assessments and everything in Philadelphia, because all the transformation that's going on, urban development in Philadelphia, so they have raised taxes in Philly. They raise taxes every year in Yaden, property taxes, school taxes. Why should seniors have to pay school taxes for children when their own children are seniors and have senior children? I have no children, but the thing is, September come, I got to pay $3,000. And I have friends who had children that are 32 years old, and I went to a meeting when they were in elementary school, and when Penn District was third from the bottom then, and I don't think they have changed since that, but yet $3,000 for school taxes, and I'm a senior and still got to pay that. And then as far as property taxes, those you can see if their property aren't kept up. They are either renting or they moved in the neighborhood and just don't care. So what can be done about that? What should be done?
Yeah, so, well, one area I'll take at the end, and that is, you know, why do we get taxed for something we may not be directly using? But I'll talk about that at the end. But in terms of if there's a complaint about taxes being raised, you should be in front of the school board. And you should be in front of your borough council. Both of
yes.
those are the entities that raise your taxes. And if you're not satisfied with the answer, you probably need to change the people. Because they're the ones who are making the decisions about whether taxes go up or not. We don't, at the Commonwealth, make those determinations from the local level. Now, that said, I will also say this. You know, I have many of my friends, including me, are at a certain age in life where we don't have children in school. They're called a Commonwealth. Now, I'm not in agreement with the amount of taxes that people are, especially seniors who are on fixed incomes, because you don't have it, you know. And
exactly.
The discretionary money that used to be available is no longer available. So I'm not in agreement with that. But I will say this. You know, public schools are only going to be viable to the extent that we pay for them collectively, not just because we're getting a direct service from that entity. So, you know, I understand why we pay the tax, even if we don't have a child in school. The question is how much we're paying for and the return. You know, you made a legitimate point, which I'm critical of, and that is if I'm paying taxes, I need to be getting a certain type of education in return for that.
Yes.
And so how it's operating, what it's doing with your money, I think you need to be you and other folks need to be more present at the school board meeting so that you can get answers in response to those very critical questions. Have a good evening now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beverly, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Yvonne. Go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Good evening. I'm concerned about voting. I haven't voted. I mean, this was the first election that I didn't vote since I've been voting. I'm 84 years old now. They used to have people that come and pick you up and take you to the polls. They would even get babysitters for you. But now I can't even walk two blocks. And they, you know, so you don't have a ride to go. So what can be done about that?
We're going to change. We're talking about changing how we vote in America, right? So we want to have absentee voting be no excuse absentee vote balloting, which would allow you no longer to have to travel to get an absentee ballot. And so we're actually considering that in the Commonwealth today. Matter of fact, it's one of the poll questions you might want to vote on online. So to answer your question, we are considering legislation that would allow you to stay at home, get somebody to mail you the ballot. You vote it, you vote for it, and you mail it in return. So we recognize that many people, for a variety of reasons, they could be seniors, they could be ill. There's a number of reasons why we believe that there should be the right to vote from the comfort of your home as opposed to requiring you going to a polling place. And so we will continue to push on that. And Ms. Randall,
yeah, but I don't know that. I think that's how Trump got in there because they didn't count those votes.
Well, no, he got in there not because of that. He got in there for some other shenanigans, as they would put him, right?
Yeah.
But this issue that you're talking about would allow you and many other seniors that I talk to who are used to voting would be able to return to vote. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Yvonne. We're going to go back to the callers. Senator, we're going to go to Verna. Verna, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Hello. Yes, I'm good afternoon, good evening. I'm concerned about the school district, and I know you said you didn't know much about it, but I'm wondering how the school district is going to get back their public schools when they turned all these public schools into senior citizen places in South Philly and in West Philadelphia. They turned the school district turned the school buildings into senior citizen buildings.
Well, I got it. But from Ms. Blake, I didn't say all of what about. I said a lot about it. What I said was that the local government now is charged. And I also said that you need to talk consistently to your mayor, to your council person, and we're responsible for making sure we send revenue. They're responsible for making sure it's executed. Now, that said, many of those school buildings have been closed, and there was a decision made by the school board to close them. That's a public conversation that people can debate back and forth. And so if you live in an area where you know there's not a school, then I would suggest, one, you're going to call me, 215-492-2980, along with your local representatives to talk about what we're going to do to replace that school. But in many places where the schools were closed, the population of those schools had decreased significantly, so that meant the public was no longer using them. So they're selling the schools to get so that you're no longer paying the taxes on that property for an unused property. So that's what's going on. But it doesn't mean that there may not be a need, but we need to know if there's a need. Thank you very much.
Vernon, thank you very much for your caller. Senator, we're going to go to Claudia. Claudia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Hello. Good evening, Senator Williams. Hello?
Good evening. I'm right here.
Oh, okay. I'm concerned about the violence. And what I need to know is, isn't there a way that when there's a murder, when that the people who are caught by the police, isn't there a way that they could trace these guns, that they could find out where these guns are coming from, where, who is bringing these guns into the area? Because there's got to be something going on with, you know, people bringing trucks in and they bringing in guns, and where these guns are actually made and coming in, whether they're coming from China or Russia or whatever. I mean, isn't that, I believe they could stop this violence if they really care about this, about if this is happening in another area other than African Americans, something would have been done a long time ago. And I think that something can be done. I want to know what is being done and what can be done, what is feasible.
Yeah, well, not enough is being done. That's the first thing. So, yes, there are tracking guns. And I mentioned it earlier that the Illegal Gun Task Force, of which I was creator, is funding undercover work in Philadelphia. The governor last appropriated $5 million to the Illegal Gun Task Force in Philadelphia. And so they are working on finding those guns. That said, there's still more coming in than they're tracking down. And what I proposed is a few things, which I said a few times, and that is, one, you know, certainly we got to increase the ability to track down the guns, but two, we have to work with those who are involved in the activity, and that we have to work with them from the standpoint of the lack of education, the lack of job opportunity, the lack of training, the lack of socialization. There are many grassroots organizations that need to be funded that we're providing the money for that needs to get into your neighborhood and my neighborhood to a generation that has to be taught why they don't pick up a gun, because the chances are they're still going to find one if they want to. And so my hope is that we will work together to identify them, but I want you to be very clear, we're identifying more and more every day, but still we have to work with those, with the generation who's still involved in that activity that don't see another way of life or lifestyle.
Claudia, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Dorothy. Dorothy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Williams.
Yes, Senator, after listening to some of the seniors before me, I was hesitant, but I'm going to give you my problem anyway. I'm going to be 79 a couple of weeks, and I've spent most of those years here in the city of Philadelphia. And I, thank you. I've, you know, this is my fifth new house, okay, new construction. And I used real estate, you know, after federal employment to do my thing. All right. The thing is, I've lived all over this city, all right? I moved here from Chestnut Hill because I have a disability, okay? And this house is built in such a way that I can, you know, live all on one floor. I don't care about the floors above, all right?
Okay.
The thing is, this is the first time that I've had to be proactive with city government to get things done. Not in Chestnut Hill, not when I was in West Philadelphia or we were in Yorktown. No other place did I have to be this proactive. And it's, you know, it's not that I don't do diligent, you know, because I was listening to a couple of people before me with the real estate tax and whatever. Yeah, that happened here too. But see, I know how to fight it. But the thing is, we have to be proactive. We can't just sit back. But I'm running into stone walls here because of the redevelopment. A man can pay $345,000 and buy a property at 1900 Federal Street here. And for 2 years, just have it fall apart. I am more than half blind, tripping over tires and all kinds of dirt and whatever. I've been in the city all these, never lived like that. You call downtown, and initially they were telling me ridiculous things like, well, in your deed it says you're responsible for one half of the alley behind your property, and they would try to set up block captains to blah, blah, blah. They give you that little story. Well, that was fine in the old days because I was here in this very neighborhood. Yeah, Dad bought in 52. We migrated from the south.
I get your point because I got a minute left and other people are still
all right, home. Okay. The thing is, all right, the new people moving in are not going to do the city. They're spending over $500,000 for a house. This is a part of the city, not all of the city, have these alleyways, okay, that are garbage and contractors are just dumping stuff in the back of it, all right? We need a way. Now, I complain so much that they decided to send somebody out and clean the alley, all right, because I'm too old to clean the entire alley. And the makeup of the new people coming in is not going to lend itself to what you were talking about, block cappings or whatever. These people are professionals, all right? They're in business for themselves or whatever. That's what's coming into the city. Now, if you are really going to be the city that everybody downtown is talking about, then we've got to look at situations like this and address them in today's world, all right? And I'd like any help that I can.
Well, I'm going to suggest to you this because that is a local issue, but I'm more than happy to get engaged to the extent that I can. So I have your number, and I will have somebody follow up. We actually did a pilot program of cleaning up some of those alleys down there, but I don't want to profess to you that I have the answer to this issue because it's one I get a lot of complaints in my office about, and unfortunately many people get frustrated because I don't have a direct response because it is, you know, local government. And so I'd be happy to engage. I'm just not sure exactly what the answer is going to be from the local government standpoint.
Dorothy, thank you very much for your call center. We're coming down the home stretch now, and I want to go through our live polling question. And the question this evening was, what voting reform would you like to see most? Lowering the age of 16, 10% for responded. 10% responded that they'd like to lower the age of 16. Nonpartisan municipal elections is 19%. Early voting is 53%. Non-excuse absentee balloting was 18%. Senator, I know there you have some follow-up comments for those that have joined us here this evening.
One, I apologize for those who I don't get to. Many of these issues, as you know, are local government issues, and I apologize that I can't give you the answer you want to from a local government perspective. What I can do is offer you the guidance from my office. And that may be, you know, you're battling your assessment. You want to know what the appeal process is. We can help you with that. You may want to know about trash in the alleyway, and you're not being successful in making contact with the local government in terms of that. We're happy to do that. And clearly the level of violence, which all of us are very frustrated with and most importantly scared to death about. I'm more than happy to organize community outings so that we can bring local government to the place that we all come up with ideas when it comes to those issues. So I thank you for your time tonight and spending it with me. We will again do these town hall meetings, and I'll update you fully upon, hopefully, then what our state government looks like from a budgetary standpoint.
and other pressing issues that you may put upon my plate. I look forward to continuing to work with you. Those of you that may, you know, be a block captain or committee person or live in a certain section of my district, if you'd like me to come out, I encourage you to call my office at 215-492-2980. And, of course, I take meetings in my office on a regular basis. And so there are issues that you put before me that I didn't get to tonight. Please do not, you know, turn away and wait for the next town hall meeting. Please be engaged immediately, and I will follow up as quickly as possible. So thank you very much for being part of this engagement this evening. Do not forget to vote online when it comes to what we're going to, the voting reforms we're looking forward to in the state of Pennsylvania. They're critically important. I'm a part of that state government committee. I'm, matter of fact, I'm the chairman from the Democratic side, and look forward to your ideas and putting them to work.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Again, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question this evening, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for Senator Williams, and his staff will get back to you. Again, Senator Williams's local office number is 215-492-2980, and his website is www.senatoranthonywilliams.com. Again, thank you for joining us here this evening. I appreciate sharing the evening with you.